Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome everybody to the Minimap Cast. This is your bi-weekly source of gaming news, questions and impressions from minimap.com.au. My name is Kerry Palmer. Joining me is June Williams.
Hello.
And Jeremy Bratatich.
I miss doing podcasts in person.
Yeah.
Soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah, if we play our cards right. Yeah, no, it's starting to be a while. This is what, like our third or fourth one that we've done this with? For a couple of fortnights now. But yeah, that's okay. It's still nice that we can still do it at least. I used Zoom for the first time today.
How was that?
It was fun. Zoom's fun. You can fiddle with the background. And like, I'm sitting next to this window that was like overexposed with light. And so it turned that into like the green screen color. And so it was just like out my window was like a grassy field. how are we all?
I'm okay.
Tired.
Yep. Cool. Same as usual. Excellent.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's crack on with the news. First and foremost, I just want to again thank Shook for our new music for the podcast. It's Moog Model D. You can find it on YouTube. Moog Model D Improv, that is. And you can also check out Shook's Bandcamp and stuff like that at shook.bandcamp.com. This is minimap.com.au's bi-weekly podcast where we talk about games, we talk about game news, we talk about game questions, and we do that every couple of weeks. If you enjoy that, feel free to... follow us on Twitter. You can follow the Minimap Twitter at MinimapAU or follow us individually. And we talk about it there and do stuff there as well. And I don't know how to exit this spiel. What else do I say? Oh, you can also support us on patreon.com/MinimapAU. Or also, if you want to support us, you could just give us a rating on your podcast service of choice. That would help us out a lot. Let's just jump into it. Hey June. What brought you back to Disco Elysium?
I don't know.
Okay.
I felt like playing a single player game, and I'm not feeling like playing. I didn't feel like playing Final Fantasy. I didn't feel like playing Doom. I was in between booting up Fallout New Vegas or Disco Elysium.
Whoa.
So that was the choice.
Just that really open-ended.
Pardon?
Have you played New Vegas before?
No, I haven't, which is
why is
strange,
like,
right?
Like, I love that game, so like great, but also like what? why did you consider playing that? I thought you hate Fallout.
Because it's cowboy, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is, actually.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So, but apart from that, I don't really know why. I guess I do want to finish it, and I keep seeing it on Twitter, and I don't really have much else to say apart from the fact that it's still good.
Yeah, fair enough. How much have you played?
I don't know. Maybe like 8 hours. I don't think I'm very close to finishing either, so...
Has your character died of any, like, threat of heart attack, causing an actual heart attack or whatever?
Yeah, I jumped off a roof because I thought I could make the jump.
Yep.
And he didn't jump. He got to the edge and had a heart attack thinking about jumping.
Fuck, that game's good.
It's very good. So I'm excited to play more of that, as usual.
And is it most of the dialogue that's pulling you through, or the other
pieces?
Yeah,
I mean, it's the dialogue's really good as well, but I really like how the menu stuff is written too. Like, there's these things called thoughts where you have, sometimes they'll unlock and you can internalize these things that give you perks and stuff like that. So there's one that I unlocked. I think I have a screenshot of it somewhere. There's like maybe 40 of them, and they're all written so beautifully and they're so well thought out. There's some really funny ones. Jeremy, do you know about this mechanic?
Yes.
Yeah. You can probably explain it better than I can.
I haven't played that game in many months. But... I haven't played that game since it came out. Like, I remember watching someone play that mechanic, but I didn't see the tutorial for it or anything, because I didn't get that far into the game.
Yeah.
I have thought about playing it so much, but I'm waiting for the Switch version.
Oh man, I think I might have to buy it on Switch again.
Yeah, you are.
The dialogue's really good, and not even between the characters. I mean, that's good too, but between you and yourself, and like the components of yourself, like that dialogue is always really excellent. Mm. I'll post the screenshot I was talking about in our chat, but it's not safe for work, so I will not read it out. but you guys can look at it later, I guess. Mm. But stuff like that, and it keeps giving me these like really lovely written things, and keeps blowing me away. But when I finish it, I'll let you know.
Awesome. Great. I love that you, like, it was like, oh, I don't feel like playing Final Fantasy, but, like, the kind of the other end of the pendulum is going to these massive open-ended, like intense, like, bespoke character RPGs. Like,
it's really, something about Disco Elysium, it's really inspiring, I think. Oh. That's what gets me about it.
From, like, a gameplay perspective, or?
Yeah, and a writing perspective as well, just... It's just good.
It's great.
So I like that. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. It's been a bit of a light gaming couple of weeks for me. I've had a semi-catastrophic computer failure as of like a week ago. So I've been mostly spending my spare time with my head inside of my computer trying to figure out what the issue is, and let's put a. It's dampened the mood a little bit in terms of what I can and can't do during the week. Like, I was just getting back into Just Cause 3, and I wanted to get back and play Just Cause 2. Like, I played Just Cause 3 the other... Because I think I was talking about Just Cause 4 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, like, not long after that, I reinstalled 3 and played that, and I was like, oh, this is just so much better. It's so much better. Like, it's the same explosions, the cutscenes look better, like, there's more structure, there's like enough of a story to pull you through, but it's not too much. It's just better. Oh my god, it's better. I just can't believe how bad 4 is. Like, I just started looking up mods for 3 that was like grapple from Just Cause 4 and Just Cause 3, because that's the only thing I wanted from Just Cause 4. So yeah, but like, yeah, that's kind of been put on hold. But what I have been doing in the meantime is I've been using my partner's computer to play Apex, because this computer can handle that. And we were 1 week away from the end of the season. The season ended at 3 a.m. last night, our time. So it's Wednesday, the 13th of May right now. And I had to, I was grinding all week to get to level 100 from like 84, I think. this is one of the first battle passes I've like bought and then like tried to follow through with in Apex, but I got to, I was doing like one or two levels a night, and so last night it was like, okay, I have to do it tonight, there's no other night. And I was starting at level 96, and I'd run out of all the challenges that like give you a full level when you complete them, and it was just like, I just have to grind, I just have to keep playing. And so I was playing with Jeremy and Ollie, and it got to 12 o'clock, and it's like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I was looking at the battle pass screen, and I see the buy battle pass levels button, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can
do that.
How much
are they?
It's
how much are levels?
It's 150 Apex coins per level.
That's a
which
lot.
Which is like, it's like $1.80 into, I think that's how it converts out. So about $2 per level. But you get Apex coins through the battle pass.
Yeah, that's not that bad.
No, it wasn't. I had 700. So it basically, it got to a point where I wanted to call it for the night last night. Instead of playing until 3 a.m. I was just like, well, I made it to level 98. And then I just bought the next two levels and then went to bed.
Don't you feel like you cheated a little bit, though? Do you feel less satisfied?
No, not really, because I got it so close. And it was just to the point where I needed to just put in, like, hours and hours of gameplay. Like, getting, like, a top three finish gives you 6,000 points. And I needed another 108,000. So that's, like, you know, that's like a 15 to 20 minute match, and I needed to do that like 18 times. And that's if I have a good performance. It wasn't going to happen last night. The trick of it is because if you do it every week, you get one or two levels for doing your daily challenges. Each week that resets. So that's the real trick of it. That's why Ollie got to 110. And that's why Jeremy was able to get to 102 or 103. You both just played over more weeks than I did. I had stronger bursts over shorter time periods. So it was like first 3 or 4 weeks, like middle 2 or 3, and then the last 2 or 3. But yeah, I'm glad I got it. I really wanted... It's not... Like, I know I didn't, like, earn it. But, like, I kind of feel like I paid it off with the coins that I earned from the Battle Pass by playing. And the other thing is, I just really wanted the skin that you get at level 100 for the flatline, so that's just how it went. But yeah, I don't know. It's been interesting playing on Sam's computer because it's a bit older. It's competent. It's fine, but it's a bit older, and all of the textures are so muddy. Like it's like everyone and every gun and all of the like rooms and bins and just literally everything is covered in Vaseline. And so, like, I was playing, the new season started today, and I was playing just a little bit before we started with Ollie, and I was like, oh, I got the flatline, look at the skin, and I hit the inspect button, and I was like, ugh. So, yeah, I'm glad I had a backup computer, but I'm looking forward to being able to restore mine. And that's me, honestly. I have sore fingers from
just
like,
Apex?
Just Apex and changing power supplies. Yeah, it's been a short couple of weeks, or a long couple of weeks.
What have they changed any? Sorry, have they changed anything in the new season, or apart from the new character?
So
they changed the map.
The new character, they've gone back to King's Canyon and changed that one.
Good.
So there's been an explosion under Skulltown. So that whole corner of the map is now underwater. It's just a hole in the map, basically, with like this like zip line platform section that goes across the like crater. And Relay, where we used to land in the top right corner, has been changed. It's now this like big construction zone. There's like electricity and water pipes coming out of the ground and going like across the
That's
everything.
Cool.
It is neat. I'm really gonna miss Relay though. Like that's our spot, you know, that's
yeah.
our spot.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then they're keeping the new King's Canyon on for 2 weeks. And then they're going back to doing what they've done for the last, like 6 weeks or so, which is having, the two maps swap out on like a 1 hour to 2 hour, cycle.
That's cool. I like that.
Have you seen the new character, June?
I have. I watched the trailer for it.
She's sexy.
She's very cute.
Yeah. She's good. And like her abilities seem really cool. We did it with Ollie before. You like her alt is like, she puts her staff down. And in the nearby vicinity, it just allows you to loot anything from that staff. So if That's you put really it cool. down near like a vault or near something like that, you can just pinch stuff. You can just pinch, you know, purple shield. If a drop comes down, but you're not near it, but your totem is relatively near it, you can just grab the Kraber. So yeah, it's really neat.
Have they fucked with the ammo again?
No, but like you should read the patch notes. Like, there's been a bunch of weapon changes. Peacekeeper is now a supply drop weapon.
Oh.
So pump action shotgun is, it's been swapped with the Mastiff, so the Mastiff is now a normal drop.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. And I'm assuming it's weaker than what it was, because it was extremely strong.
No, it is weaker than what it was. I think the spread is a bit wider, but you get more shots, so I don't know. Right. And Skull Piercer is back for the Longbow and Wingman. They took out the Anvil Receiver for one of the hop-ups. Pathfinder's grapple has changed from 15 to 35 seconds. There's a bunch of random stuff they've done. A lot of changes. Apparently they've done a big overhaul of Mirage.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter, but I didn't see what the changes were.
Yeah, no, I need to read the patch notes, but it's really exciting. I'm really looking forward to jumping in. And yeah, Loba's fun to play against. She's got like that teleport bracelet as well. That's neat. I will note that like, there was something really special about the way they revealed Revenant for last season. Like, it was such a crazy hype moment because they did that whole fake reveal of... I don't even remember his name because he died. but that fake legend who they...
In the trailer.
That was so incredible. And then they had that 8-minute full CGI, incredible character reveal for Revenant. They didn't follow up with the same detail for this one. I think that's because they had an 8-minute trailer for Bloodhound in the middle of the season. So they only had a 2-minute one for Loba. So that's fine. Like, she's interesting and compelling enough. But I'm looking forward to the next time they like really rock the way things have been. Because that was pretty special.
These Mirage changes are crazy.
Yeah.
So the tactical, which used to be you just send out a decoy, which was just a hologram that if people shot, you would be notified.
Yeah.
Now you press the character utility action button, which I'm assuming is just like F, allows Mirage to gain control of his decoy. When controlling the decoy, it will mimic Mirage's every move. Decoys now last for 60 seconds. The ultimate, I think, is the same. Mirage deploys a team of decoys that mimic his every move.
Yeah, that's the same.
The passive, in addition to cloaking when down, Mirage also cloaks while using a respawn beacon and reviving a teammate. The teammate is also cloaked.
That's very good.
And he's the best thing. He's the best thing. The thing that I was complaining about.
Oh, yes. Two days ago. Tell me about this. Say it.
Mirage's "you got bamboozled" line will now only trigger when you bamboozle an enemy instead of when you just send out a decoy, which is great because the amount of times that one of my teammates would send out a decoy and I would hear, "you got bamboozled." And in my mind, that means, oh, someone shot their decoy. Nah. Doesn't make any sense. Now
they've
it does.
Also done,
great fix.
They've also done the Overwatch thing where a lot of characters have added voice lines for unique pairings of characters. So obviously Loba and Revenant, because Revenant killed Loba's parents in Revenant's reveal trailer, they've got a lot of really intense dialogue apparently, and so there's a bunch of cool stuff like that. There's this whole quest thing in the mid, like, and they've introduced a PvE mode that we haven't unlocked yet, but is coming in the next couple of days. Like, it's really cool. This season's really neat. It's not just a blowout like it was last season, but it's a lot of great quality of life fixes, and I'm very interested to keep putting more time into it.
It's good. I'm glad you guys are still having fun with it. I feel like it's been a long time.
Yeah. I was reflecting on that. It was like, it's really neat that we like jumped in with one of the events at season 3 like earlier in the year. And it's just kept us in. Like, I remember saying to Ollie and Jeremy, I was like, remember when this game didn't have like daily or weekly challenges to do? It was like you just played the game. And we burned out on it.
And I think the battle passes helped because so I got to level 80 before I bought into the battle pass because I was like, well, I'm 80 out of like 100 levels into this thing. The amount of stuff that I'm going to get retroactively when I buy the battle pass is going to be a lot. And I was like, well, you know, it's worth the $15. I put a bunch of hours in. And then by the time I got to level 100, you get enough of the in-game currency to then buy the next battle pass.
Yes.
Which is great. So, yes. So
that's such a good idea.
If theoretically, you don't spend it in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like theoretically, you can always, you can only have to buy one battle pass forever, and you can keep playing enough to get every single battle pass following.
As long as you keep playing it.
Yes. But that's like, that's really cool, because really it's neat. Like, it's yeah. it's almost like a reward for playing it enough. It's like, hey, you get to do this whole thing all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is sweet. So yeah, go Respawn. You're kicking goals. I love it. Jeremy, what have you been doing? I'm looking at the rundown here. There's a lot of weird stuff here.
That's every fortnight.
it's been an odd 14-day period. So I start off with, I went back and started playing Shadow of the Colossus again. Okay. Which is, I don't know. So actually, I do know the reason why. The reason why is because I was rearranging a bunch of my room, and I was taking stuff on and off my bookcase, because I wanted to put my record player, which was in another room of the house, into my bedroom, because I received a couple of vinyls in the mail. And so when I did, I listened to my new vinyls, and I'm like, oh, these are great. I want to keep listening to music while I'm like doing stuff, because I'm like in a moving mood. So I put on the Shadow of the Colossus vinyl, and as I'm listening to the song, every now and again I'd pause and I go, oh, fuck, I love this game. Ooh, fuck, I love this game. And so then that day, after my housemate and I did our weekly Kingdom Hearts and Xenoblade play session, June, don't shake your head. I just put in Shadow of the Colossus. And I realized I hadn't played it since before I got my PS4 Pro. So I got to play it in 4K, 60 FPS. Whew, that remake, something special. Like that, like there are not very many remakes that I would say completely eclipse the need to play the original one. But like and that's not as in the original one is like bad to go back to, but the new one is just, it's just that game in every single way just a bit better. And like, fuck, the grass in that game and like the movement of the like the fur, it's just so goddamn good. That game, fuck, I love that game. And it also reminded me that at some point they announced a movie, which like,
oh really?
What?
Like years ago, like I'm talking like 2010.
18 Colossi in 2 hours.
Yeah, it was going to be directed by the guy who ended up doing the Fantastic Four movie, and the guy who did Chronicle. One? The Josh Trank, the new one. That movie's never coming out. But yeah, that game's real good.
I should play it.
You should play it. Okay. Did you add it to your thing when it was on Thingo?
I don't have PS Plus.
You should buy that game and finish that game. That game is so good.
Yeah,
and it's really not long. Oh, actually, okay. It's not long now that I know how to do everything.
Yeah, it's like how you can play the original Portal in like an hour.
Yeah.
Well, when I played, because I never played the original apart from what we played at uni.
Yeah.
And I finished it in like, I don't know, 8 hours.
Yeah, it's not a very long game.
No, it was a good digestible amount.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I should play that game. And The Last Guardian.
Yes, you should play. Last Guardian's longer. Last Guardian's...
Play The Last Guardian first.
Last Guardian's like 24 hours long around.
Right, okay.
Maybe a 20-hour game.
That's fine.
Why
first, June?
Because I want to hear your opinion about that more than I want to hear your opinion about Shadow of the
Colossus. I'll see how much I can get them for.
I've also, very briefly, a friend of the show, Ollie, and I played Rec Room VR.
Finally.
Which is something that, something that him, that we both promised to play at some point, maybe 2 years ago. And since then, I've got a better VR rig, but it's crossplay, which is great. So he's playing on his PS4, and I'm playing on my Oculus Quest.
It's crossplay. That's wild.
Yeah, it's great. And you can also play that game without VR, which who the fuck knew?
And it is free to download, right?
It is free. That game is completely free. There is like it's got like microtransactions for like cosmetics and stuff, but that game is free. in a world where I am not able to see my friends very often currently, it was lovely to see my friend in an animated state, which was really funny, because Ollie is a very animated person, and I like to do a lot of visual jokes, and so we were just laughing the entire time, and like throwing frisbees, and like other random people were just like joining in, and we're just like throwing like frisbees and shit, and balls and darts, and talking to random people because all the VR headsets have got a microphone built in. Everyone's talking, but because VR is not like, it's not an easy thing to buy into, for the most part, everyone on there is pretty chill. There was no one who was like screaming like obscenities.
It's not like a free to play game where people just jump on to be a pain.
Yeah, people.
What do you actually do in Rec Room? So it's
a social space that have got mini games that you can play as well.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of it is just, like, a social, just like a hangout space where you can talk
like
and...
Like, VR chat.
Yeah, yeah, except less, like, meme-y. it's... there's, like, lobbies for different games. Like, there's, like, dungeoning games. There's, like, laser tag. It's all very, like, kid-friendly, which is cool. And speaking of kid-friendly, so the most adorable thing in the world is VR... is like a representation of you, right? Like when I put on a VR helmet, it has me and it has the correct distance between my head and my arms because it's tracking everything. When you're playing with a 7-year-old, they sure are a lot shorter than you. And in one of these dungeoning games, it was like you're basically just going from room to room and you get swords and bows and arrows and shields. And there's just little gremlins that, you know, fall from the sky, and everything sort of looks like a little cardboardy. It's quite nice. It's almost like a stage play, but like a primary school stage play where there's like cardboard boxes with wings attached and they're bats, but they're still like square cardboard boxes. And
right. Like a Yoshi's Crafted World sort of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of like that. A little bit more like realistic, but it's sort of like that. When someone goes down and you need to revive them, you have to go up to them and high five. to like get them back up, which is really funny because like you just get put in a lobby with three other people, and so Ollie and I went in and we joined with these two kids, and I have to high five so low because they're so short and they can't reach my hands, and I'm just like melting inside, like this is so cute. Yeah, just funny, like just really funny, and like there's stuff like we were doing some of the laser tag games, and Ollie was commenting on that he didn't know how to use one of the guns because you have to like reload it a different way, like from like the top but like at the back, and he's like trying to get the gun to work, and he looked at someone and someone else was just like mimicking the motion of what he needed to do, and then he figured it out because someone else was literally showing him how to use the gun. It was like VR is a blessing. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sounds it.
So yeah, and the final game I've been playing this week, that I can remember, is a game called Before We Leave, which I don't know who makes Before We Leave, but Before We Leave is a hex-based, it's not a 4X game, because you don't do all of the 4Xs, but you do like most of them. So you like it's a game where you are on a on an Earth which is post humanity sort of like collapsing, and then you're sort of like rising again. So you've got like a
Horizon Zero Dawn kind of style.
Yeah, but it's
like
very
post apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the rebuilding of an apocalypse. But the game itself is completely non-violent. Like, there's no wars you have to fight. There's no, like, hostile enemies you have to kill or anything like that. And the game is just about creating a civilization and sort of, like, colonizing your little world until you can go to other planets. And then you can colonize those little planets. And it's just about making a good, functioning little civilization. So that includes, like, managing food, managing water... power, different minerals which get different upgrades, and there's science as well you can get from broken down old machinery that's like stuck on the earth.
This sounds like if Civilization was a SimCity game.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's got a low poly sort of art style, but the fidelity of the game is quite high. Like there's like really detailed like light shafts, and some of the textures are quite detailed, but like the actual models themselves are quite low poly. The tagline for the game is "Before We Leave" is a non-violent city building game set you in your own cozy corner of the universe. Rediscover and rebuild civilization. It's really quite sweet. Made by Balancing Monkey Games. There are still like some threats in the universe that you're in, but they don't like actively damage you. There's only two as far as I've found so far. One of them is these little creatures that live underground, and they have these little holes in the ground where they come out of. And what they do is they just like run to your nearest resource and then just steal from it. But you can't like kill them, and they don't like kill any of your civil or any of your population. You can set up lights to like deter them, basically.
Right. So this is the pests.
Yeah. They're basically just like pests. And there's also gigantic space whales.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah. And what they do is they fly over your planet, and they start sucking up certain chunks of the world, like certain tiles. It seems to be random, and it doesn't seem to be very many. But you can create a space elevator, which you can then basically feed them so they stop attacking your planet.
Right.
There's no like guns to shoot them or anything. It's quite a peaceful game. It's got quite nice music. It's very relaxing. One thing that's annoying is every now and again, more than one song will start playing at the same time if they've both been triggered in the game logic. Right. And then sometimes four songs will still start playing at the same time, and it's like really overwhelming really quickly. And yeah. So I just like scroll down, zoom out back to space. One song plays, and then it's gonna zoom back in again. It's quite a nice, relaxing little game. I think it was like $29. It's on Epic Game Store. That's where I bought it. Real sweet, real nice.
Yeah, it sounds it.
Has anyone been playing Animal Crossing?
No.
yes. I didn't realize that was that 2 weeks ago?
Mm.
Was it 2 weeks ago when I had sold my turnips?
Don't remember.
I sold my turnips for a good price a few weeks ago. And then
is it the last time you played?
Yeah. Yep. Because I got like 800,000 back, and so I bought a grand piano and paid off my house.
That's all you need.
Oh, and then I created a music room, and it's the best thing. And I've just been hoarding music stuff. So now I've got a grand piano, a drum set, tambourine, ocarina, electric guitar, and all of those. And there are more things there. I've got like an effects pedal sitting next to the guitar. It doesn't do anything, but it's 6x to the guitar. There's a microphone there. It doesn't do anything, but it looks good. And if you put... I've got a jukebox in the corner, and when you put on the music, all of the instruments' music like plays in key with the chords it's playing with the song at the time. And so I just sit there jamming out, like playing drums to the song, and then playing guitar to the song, and then playing piano to the song. And I got a piano stool, and so you sit on the stool, and then you swivel around, and then you just like, it's great.
I watched a fan-made Nintendo Direct, which I knew was fan-made when I was watching it, but it was a fan-made Nintendo Direct talking about quality of life changes to Animal Crossing. Mostly to do with UI and the way the game functions, stuff like, you know, building multiples of one item at the same time, being able to craft and customize items at the same time, like picking up, dropping, using all that stuff just to sort of make the menus simple.
Buying more than like one set of pants at Able Sisters.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. Your bait has run out. Do you want to use another one right now? And you go, yep. And it just keeps on going, you know, that sort of stuff. And then I made myself sad that's not what the game actually is. It's one of the main reasons I haven't gone back.
I'm really liking all the, yeah, I really haven't been playing it at all, but I'm liking all the, I have Raymond in boxes. So the one that's just a picture of Everybody Loves Raymond. anyway.
Animal Crossing.
I think it's interesting that we've all sort of fallen off pretty hard.
Yeah. I feel like playing it tonight, because like I'm getting close to just like kind of checking out for the week.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like Animal Crossing really mirrors my, it doesn't mirror, but I mentioned this before, but, like if I feel I'm laden with responsibility or with things to do for the week, like, I'm not interested in playing it, because it just is, the mood of the game is at odds with where my mindset has to be for me to, like, keep going through the week.
Mm.
So I just, it's not like I want to sit there for hours and go, I don't want to, like, pluck fruit from trees and shake every tree and water every flower. It's like, I got dinner to make. I got shit to do.
Yeah.
But, like, tonight it's just kind of like, oh, I've got, like, a 4-hour shift tomorrow. And then it's like, I don't know. So I'm in the mood for it, I think. I might play some tonight. We'll see.
I'm just sort of sick of fighting the game just to do stuff. Like, I just want them to streamline stuff. And then it would have me hook, line, and sinker. Like, it really, really would. But every time I think about doing stuff in that game, it makes me tired. Not about actually doing things. Like I quite enjoy doing the weeding and, you know, moving trees and selling fruit and stuff. Like, I find that stuff really meditative to do. But
all the manual labor.
All of the menu labor is actually
manual
what's...
Labor.
Yeah, manual labor is actually what's, like, slowing me down. It's so close. It's so close, and yet it tripped.
They were putting out a lot of updates when it first came out, and they haven't put one out since the red update, right? And
that was, yeah, like over which 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah,
if they have
that's
one
right.
Coming.
When I had my Kamehameha story.
maybe they have an update coming. It feels like it's about time.
Yeah, they announced that more stuff is going to be happening through June and stuff like that when they announced the red update in the first place, but... Well, yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's one of our shortest What We've Been Playing sections ever. But it was good.
Tight.
It was good. Yeah. Yeah, it was neat. I can't believe Shadow of Colossus is on this list.
Hey, you played Just Cause 4 last week.
I played Just Cause 3. I almost played 2. And I was almost tempted to go back to 1. That's neither here nor there. June, hit us with that sweet, sweet question before we go to the break.
I didn't think about this at all.
Yeah, I didn't either, but we wrote it down.
If you could show a person that hasn't played games before one game, what would you recommend?
That's a tough one.
Shadow the Hedgehog.
You want to play a hedgehog that wields an M16?
Name another medium where that exists, Kerry. Name one other medium where that exists.
You're right. Games are special. Games are art.
Finally. Finally, games are art.
Have a think, everyone, that we definitely need to. We're going to have a good old think.
Yep.
And when we do, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Minimap Cast. We're here to talk about June's question corner that we've been sitting, pondering, and thinking about. June, what is the question for the corner? For the week.
If you could show a person that hasn't played games before one game, what would you recommend? And I think I specified this last fortnight by saying that it's not specifically like a child.
Yeah.
It can be.
As in, it's specifically not a child.
Yes.
Right, okay.
What did I say? Not specifically a child.
Yes.
Yeah. Both of those sentences
being
are correct.
A child or other.
Yeah.
You mean only other.
Yeah.
This is hard. It's a hard one to answer. I think it's the kind of thing that I immediately jump to something that's kind of cinematic.
Yeah, I couldn't really look past Journey, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a golden, one. That's great.
Even though it's I think the go-to answer, but I think you're right. I think it is such a mix between different types of media. Like, it is almost like you're watching it rather than playing it. It sort of gives the impression that, you know, games can be something else.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's so affecting, but not because it's a great cinematic story. Like, in the same way Uncharted is affecting, but that's because it's like a movie told well through a game, kind of. Mm. And then the game's enjoyable on top of that. Like, yeah, Journey's so special.
I think my favorite thing about both of those... Sorry,
you go.
I was just going to say, my favorite thing about both of those games, like Uncharted and Journey, is that they both give you a sense of, I can go anywhere, and yet you still want to go exactly where the designed path is, no matter what. It's a lesson in signposting and
leading the character.
Leading lines is what I was looking for, but that also works.
Like that leading lines, the photography that version. Silverchair song, leading lines.
Yeah.
I completely forgot Silverchair existed.
Right. I think now. Everyone did. That's fine. I'm thinking, like, it's hard. I mean, I thought about this question a lot because I think about introducing games to my niece and nephew every few weeks. Because they don't play games much. They don't get like much phone time or anything like that, which is fine. But I always think, like, you know, what would, if I had to, what would I pick? But that's not the question. So, like, I don't know. I one of my first answers off the top of my head when I was thinking about this just before was The Witcher 3. And I think that's because it has...
Chuck him in the deep end.
That's pretty chunky.
Yeah, like, it would be a showing, like, not a giving. Like, that's not one to give someone to play for their first time. But that's one to, I think, like, show someone to, like, be like, hey, look, this is kind of neat. Where it's got the interesting gameplay, it's got the like deep cinematic like storytelling that you can get hooked into, it's got the graphical fidelity that's really impressive, and you can also
great music that game.
Oh, absolutely. And you can also showcase sort of branching dialogue paths and branching narrative options and stuff like that. Like, I think there's a lot in that game that shows what is so great about games. But you're right, that is a meaty chunk of game to show someone. It's not like you could show them, like, you can't even show them all that opening area in like an hour. Which then leads me to, like, I immediately go to one of the first games that I remember playing, which was like Super Mario Brothers. It's simple and it's neat and it's fun. One
boring,
or three, I
though.
Guess
Don't you think?
Pardon?
It's a bit boring.
Yeah, maybe. Like, maybe it's, you know, it was good for a 90s kid, maybe not a 2020s adult. I don't know. But then I think the final answer for me is Uncharted 2.
Interesting.
I want to go to The Last of Us, but the problem with The Last of Us is that it's too hard. It's too difficult emotionally. It's not like, oh, hey, let's watch this thing. It's going to make you cry, like, 8 times. Like, I don't want to show anyone that. I don't want to make someone sad. Like, so, like, Uncharted 2 is so good because it's such a... It is the definition of, like, a pulp... Not fiction, but, like, pulp... Like, a pulpy adventure action game where it's, like, the stakes are high, but also everything's kind of a joke and the characters interact and they're funny and they're quippy and... You get a feel for them, and there's a twist at the start, and it's like, oh, whoa, what the fuck? And the way it starts with, like, the train off the side of the cliff, like, it's immediately engaging cinematically, gameplay-wise. It's... That game is so good, and it's got such great pacing. Like, I think that's my answer.
Cool. So, my first... My first answer was actually going to be Mario Odyssey.
Oh.
Because it's a joyous... blessing of a game. Just like fun, happy, childlike wonder in a world where you get to throw hats and there's fantastic different worlds and stuff. And then I thought more about it. I went, maybe not that. I think actually my answer would be Little Big Planet.
I like it.
It's a very, very, very approachable game, which has fantastic tutorialization in that game. Like, really great ramp of difficulty in those levels.
And you also get to listen to Stephen Fry every time you learn something new.
You get to listen to Stephen Fry, which is very, very, very important. Very pivotal, I would say, to gaming as a art form.
First it was audiobooks.
Yeah. You get to create your own levels if you want to. If you want to mess around with, like, you know, the mechanics that you've learned by playing the game and the different little, like, collectibles and checkpoints and all that stuff, you can figure out all that stuff from playing the game, and then you can make something with your own game. And you can also play other people's levels. So there's also, like, a potential infinite amount of levels you can play. I think it's more accessible than Dreams in terms of someone's first game.
Yep.
Which is why I didn't pick Dreams over Little Big Planet. But yeah, really, really fun, really sweet, and potential for a lot of really, really good, like, wading through what games can sort of be. My other potential one I was also considering would be, like, Lego games.
That's a fantastic, fantastic point.
Because a lot of them are licensed, so if you like Lord of the Rings or if you like Star Wars or whatever, you can play those movies again in a way that's still really fun for people who have seen those movies a bunch of times.
Yep.
The gameplay is really good. Yep. It uses all the music. It uses a lot of dialogue from some of the games.
You can die over and over and it's totally fine.
Yep. There's good replayability. There's multiplayer. Just really fucking solid games, most of them. So
that's a slam dunk answer. I think that's the ticket, I reckon.
My other one was going to be Animal Crossing.
Probably, yeah.
New Leaf.
Yeah, I reckon New Leaf. Probably, yeah. Not the new one. Probably New, yeah, Leaf. I think because it is such a, like, step away from what the traditional game, that's air quotes.
Yeah.
would be.
Franchise.
Like, if I was to show, like, mum a game, she's very on board with the whole all video games are violent thing. It would probably be Animal Crossing because of that.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable how much that game's taken the world by storm. And I mean, it's lightning in a bottle. Like, it could never happen ever again if anyone tried to make it happen. Like, could you imagine if they didn't delay Animal Crossing and it came out in, like, November? It wouldn't have had the same incredible, like, saturation of, like, social media and the public consciousness as it has right now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I think New Leaf did very well. I saw New Leaf online a lot, but not to the same capacity as New Horizons, I think.
Yeah. I was at my work, where I work at a cafe, and one of the my colleagues there knows I, you know, do a bunch of game stuff, and, you know, they'll have played, like, The Sims before, and, like, maybe that's it. And they said to me the other day, like, what's this camping game I keep seeing on social media at the moment? Like, it's just, like, everywhere. I'm like, yep, it's Animal Crossing. No, you can't buy it.
Do you want the question for next fortnight?
Sure. Good question for this fortnight, June.
Thanks. I can't take credit for next fortnight's because it was Kerry's idea. But
we'll spitball.
I'm running very low on questions, so if you have a question, please send it in.
Hey, please do. At minimap.au.
Exactly. If you could go back to any game launch, what launch would you choose to relive?
I don't mind.
It's a good one, Gary. It's a good
Thank
one.
Thank you. I'm excited about this one. I wanted to say, oh, good question, Jude, but I said it. I don't want to be like... But I'm excited to answer this one. That'll be fun. Yeah, I don't know. I like these questions. I like that we do these. Like I know sometimes, like, some of them seem, like, naff, although I think we weed out a lot of the, like, cookie cutter, like, like we were trying to read out questions before, like, you know, what game would you make unviolent if you could? Like Call of Duty, Flower Edition.
Modern
like,
Warfare 2, specifically that one level.
Yeah, like, I don't know, I think a lot of them are really neat and make us think and give us good answers. I really appreciate them. So thanks, June.
You're welcome.
Let's talk some news. It's a bit of a weird week. So this is sort of in between the last 2 weeks, quote unquote, next gen has started. Very heavy air quotes.
Yeah, like some would say misleading air quotes.
And some would say yes. So Xbox. First of all, Ubisoft revealed the new Assassin's Creed game. It's called Assassin's Creed Valhalla, set in the 9th century. Basically, you are Vikings. You're Norse Vikings, and you're set in the Dark Ages, and you take over parts of Europe and tell a different side of the Viking story, where maybe they're a bit more sympathetic than just, you know, brainless murderers. Looks very God of War inspired. And on that reveal, it was covered in Xbox branding. And like about a day after they revealed the game, they were like, oh, tune in for the gameplay reveal of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, of the Xbox Series X gameplay reveal on the next Inside Xbox, May, whatever it was, like 7th or whatever. And everyone was like, oh my God, we're going to get gameplay. We're going to see a gameplay trailer. Gameplay? That's nuts. I want to see next-gen gameplay. I want to see the next Assassin's Creed gameplay. Anyway, what they came out with was not very gameplay.
It wasn't gameplay. It showed up as not gameplay. It's in-engine footage. Like, there's maybe like a minute of it, or 2 minutes of it, maybe.
Exactly. It's not like they show you the game loop. You don't see any UI. You don't see any mission structures. Like, it's all just... It's basically a cinematic trailer shot in-engine.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's completely false. Like,
yeah. So,
how old is Ubisoft?
How old?
Yeah, like, don't they know the difference now by now?
I mean, they do, but also they knew it would drum up hype. The question is whether they included it in the trailer because Xbox wanted a gameplay inside Xbox, because all of those games were meant to be gameplay trailers. Whereas it ended up being that like maybe two of them were in-engine trailers and almost all of them were cinematic, slash, you know, not representative of gameplay. Not many of them were that inspiring. You know, it was like, oh, Madden 21 is going to be on the Xbox Series X. It's like, well, great. You know, I could have bet my entire house on that. Like, like, it's just not that interesting. So anyway, there's a bit of backlash to how much not gameplay there is. So I'm going to jump into a bit of a rundown. This is from IGN. This is from Jordan Olliman. Inside Xbox, Aaron Greenberg addresses fan response. What is, quote, gameplay, unquote? Anyway, General Manager of Xbox Game Marketing, Aaron Greenberg, has addressed the response to May's Inside Xbox 2020 stream, noting that the team, quote, set some wrong expectations, unquote, about the presentation. Greenberg's response about negative feedback from fans about yesterday's presentation, which promised next-gen gameplay in the lead-up to the show. Greenberg's response... followed negative feedback, yep. In particular, Assassin's Creed Valhalla's showing failed to deliver what many have expected from a, quote, gameplay trailer, unquote, instead of offering some scattered footage of Viking raids and battles without a HUD in sight. So this is a tweet from Aaron Greenberg. I'm just going to pull it up here and we can read from it. Okay, so this tweet, this is someone was highlighting what made everyone so sort of hyped for it, saying that in their press release they said, we will focus on giving you a first look at next-gen gameplay trailers and sneak peeks. And Aaron Greenberg responded saying, had we not said anything and just shown May Inside Xbox show like we did last month, I suspect reactions might have been different. Clearly we set some wrong expectations and that's on us. We appreciate all the feedback and can assure you we will take it all in and learn as a team. Prayer emoji, green heart. Unquote.
I watched this whole thing live. Yes. For the most part, it wasn't super, super interesting. Like, there were some cool games that were being announced and stuff. But it goes to show that the best part of this announcement was that someone had changed their Microsoft Teams background. By the way, they specifically mentioned Microsoft Teams and not Zoom because it's an Xbox thing. someone had changed their Microsoft Teams background to just their kitchen, but instead of a fridge, they have an Xbox Series S, Xbox Series X, the size of a fridge. It's a very, very funny joke.
That was
very funny joke.
They opened with that, which was ballsy, but that was good.
Also, Microsoft, buy your employees some good microphones, because like there were some moments where it was a little bit rough. Like, you've got the money, get them some fucking snowballs or something.
Yeah, there was some jank set up, but I think that's just the reality of what we're living in at the moment. It's all a bit fucked. So yeah, I think the thing that I took away from the stream was it said, this is reading from the quote, as you may have heard during last night's stream, Xbox Game Studios head honcho Matt Booty.
Yep.
I didn't want to laugh, and then I did. Announced that we'll be getting a closer look at the first party titles coming to Xbox Series X in July. Not June.
Yep.
Not in May. July. Outside of the E3 timeframe. That was a stark realization. I heard that. I was like, oh shit. We're not going to be able to do the normal thing like we always have. Xbox isn't going to be doing the thing in June.
I think this sort of tracks with what they've... with the past. Mostly because, like, they want their own dedicated time to it. And if rumors are to be believed, which, as far as I can tell, they're coming from pretty credible people, PlayStation's big showing is going to be in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that also means that I think Ubisoft are going to do their thing, because they also will want to do a E3-style showcase. I think they've announced. They announced when they're doing it.
I think so.
But basically, the next six weeks, basically, are packed.
I mean,
there's
maybe.
Already so much going on.
But the other thing is that Nintendo delayed their June presentation that they already announced, so that's not necessarily happening in June.
July 12th is Ubisoft.
July 12th, yeah. It just seems that everything's been pushed back a few weeks.
I think it's more like that they don't have to now like cram for E3. They can do it at their own leisurely pace, and they're going to want a huge showing. Xbox is going to come out like firing on all cylinders this generation. So they want to make sure that they can get everything perfectly right. Which I think is fair, because
especially after this misstep, because this is kind of the first wrong step that they've made so far in the next gen lineup.
Oh, it's a pretty minor one. It's just like a disappointing showcase of a few indie games and then Assassin's Creed. Like, it's
totally, it's very forgivable. It's not.
I don't know if they'll recover, but like it's fine. Look, they've already had their initial showing of the console, and a bunch of game announcements. So we know a little bit of what's coming. So I think that this is like a little trip, and then they'll be okay after. I think they're literally just gonna make sure everything's gonna be great. Like as far as I can tell, Ubisoft, PlayStation, basically Nintendo is the only major company that I've seen have actually said yes. Due to COVID-19, we have had to push some stuff back. PlayStation was saying earlier today that as far as we can tell, everything's gonna go as planned.
But we know things haven't gone as planned, because Last of Us got delayed a second time, like third time.
Yeah, but wasn't that just for retailer launch?
Yes, due to COVID supply issues.
Yeah, no, I mean as in like developmental issues. I mean all the game studios seem to be doing okay. Like, everyone's working from home, but everyone seems to be on track for the most part.
Right, right. They're not folding any studios anytime soon.
Yeah. Like, they're not even really pushing back games because people can't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Ubisoft, they're really trying to come out with news for Valhalla. It's like one of the only next-gen games that's been announced. It's one of the only launch games that's been announced. And they're just trying to keep hype going for it. So this is... this is a headline that Ollie sent to us. This is also from IGN, from Jordan Ollerman. Assassin's Creed Valhalla will run, quote, at a minimum of 30 FPS, unquote, on Xbox Series X.
Yikes.
What a chunky bit of news there we've got. It's such an empty, vapid statement. It's like, well, if it's not running at a minimum of 30 FPS, then it's like the worst next gen launch in history. And if it is, then it's like meeting our expectations and nothing more.
Yeah. So I'm gonna press right up against the edge of that box.
Yeah, so this is I'll just read the article. We'll see what Ubisoft have to say. So Ubisoft issued a statement to IGN revealing that the forthcoming release will target 30 FPS as a minimum frame rate. Quote, Assassin's Creed Valhalla will run at a minimum of 30 FPS. On Assassin's Creed Valhalla, we are committed to offer the best experience to our players by immersing them in the most beautiful worlds and environments we could create, and leveraging not only the graphics enhancements offered by the next generation of consoles, but also faster loading times and the new architectures.
But make it run at 60, though. No, like, it...
like, that's the thing. Like, it's so strange. Like, so, reading further through the article, Microsoft has previously made clear that its performance target for the console is 4K at 60 up to 120 FPS. So, saying this whole minimum 30 FPS thing is just so... It just seems so antithetical to the whole point of what we were talking about with these new consoles. They're talking about faster load times. They're talking about not having to worry about... like the load of 4K textures and stuff like that. Like, it should, like, they've already built up the expectations with their vapid marketing speech. Like,
yeah.
Why would they come out with this nonsense statement? I don't know, we don't have to talk about it much. It's just silly.
Well, I mean, like what's it going to run out on the Xbox One? Like, usually 20. It's like, you know, yeah, right? Like, I mean, obviously it'll be brought down enough to match, like, hopefully, like, a stable frame rate. But, like, it's just, like, I get it. Games are hard. Games are incredible. Every game that gets made is a miracle. But also, God, it would just be so much better if it ran at 60. Like, it's a launch game. Like, it's supposed to be not the best looking game, but... holy hell, should it run well? Like, they're not supposed to be up to the limits of the console yet. Yeah. I hope this game isn't coming out too early. It seems like this is the right time for this game to come out. This is the team that worked on Origins and Black Flag. Like, this isn't the team that worked on Odyssey.
Totally. And Odyssey, it'll be 2 years since the release of Odyssey when this one comes out.
Yeah, so 3 years since Origins. I don't know. I hope it runs better.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. Like, we're gonna forget about that article in the years to come. But I think it's just such an empty, airheaded, nonsense thing to even release a statement about. Like, I don't understand why they did it. I think it's very silly. And then this is not a happy story. This one's a bit weird, and you know, it for something that we've spoken about on the show in the last couple of weeks.
Tom Clancy, no, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered.
No, not that one.
Sorry. Fucking Tom Clancy's Pro Skater. God, that would be I'm going to tweet that right now.
So, this is a roundup of some sort of like tweets that have happened. This is also from IGN. This is from Matt Kim. But this is talking, the headline is Doom Eternal Soundtrack Controversy Explained. A production side issue created friction between Doom Eternal devs and composer. And this is a bit surprising considering how well-received and well-regarded the Doom soundtrack has been for the reboot of the franchise. So we're just going to jump into it here. Id Software and Doom Eternal executive producer Marty Stratton has issued a public statement about its current relationship with Doom Eternal composer Mick Gordon, after weeks of speculation that there was some kind of trouble between the two parties over the recently released Doom Eternal soundtrack. After a slight delay, the Doom Eternal soundtrack, part of the game's collector edition, was released on April 20, a month after the game was released. But fans quickly found something amiss with the sound mixing, leading to a backlash against id Software and, in particular, id's lead audio engineer, Chad Mossholder. The controversy began in April when a viral Twitter thread highlighted the sound mixing for the newly released Doom Eternal soundtrack. Twitter users at that ADCD guy posted side-by-side visual comparisons of the BFG
mission
track. That ADCD guy. Visual comparisons side-by-side of the BFG division track from Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, and noted that the mixing for the Doom Eternal version was less dynamic. Gordon responded in a tweet that he didn't mix those, and if he did, he would have done differently. A supposed social media DM from Gordon also seemed to indicate that he would no longer be working with id Software going forward. So, just reading those tweets and questions, this is from that ACDC guy. Mick Gordon is a far more talented audio engineer than me. It's not even close, and that's what makes this especially frustrating. I expect much better from him. Again, the music itself is phenomenal, but this mix on the official soundtrack is frankly terrible. And then Mick Gordon responds, I didn't mix those and wouldn't have done that. You'll be able to spot the handful of tracks I mixed, parentheses, Meat Hook, Command and Control, etc. In a lengthy post on the Doom Eternal subreddit, Stratton attempted to clear the air as to why the soundtrack for the new shooter was not fully mixed by composer Mick Gordon's... Wait, what? Was not fully mixed by composer Mick Gordon's... What? Why the
okay. Multiple Mick Gordons.
Yeah, I guess. Was not fully mixed by composer Mick Gordon, whose award-winning work on Doom 2016 has defined the rebooted Doom series. The reason for this was because of some complications on the production side of things, and according to Stratton, a shifting deadline. After agreeing with Gordon on the contract for a soundtrack by early March, Gordon reached out to id requesting an extension. Quote, on February 24th, Mick reached out to communicate that he and his team were fine with the terms of the agreement, but that there was a lot more work involved than anticipated. A lot of content to wade through, Stratton writes. He apologised and asked that, ideally, he'd be given an additional four weeks to get everything together. He offered that the extra time would allow him to provide upwards of 30 tracks and a runtime over 2 hours. Stratton says that it agreed to the extension with a new deadline set for mid-April. However, once April arrived, Stratton says, we grew increasingly concerned about Mick delivering the OST to us on time. I personally asked our lead audio engineer at id, Chad Mossholder, to begin work on id versions of the tracks, as a backup plan. Mossholder would mix music Gordon previously submitted for use in-game into soundtrack form, which requires a different kind of sound mixing. Stratton says that as the deadline approached, Gordon was the one who suggested he and Mossholder combine the work they both completed into a full soundtrack, leading to the final version of the Doom Eternal OST that includes tracks mixed by Gordon and tracks edited by Mossholder, using Gordon's original music he previously submitted for use in-game. As for the immediate future, we are at the point of moving on and won't be working with Mick on the Doom Eternal DLC we currently have in production, says Stratton. I'm as disappointed as anyone that we're at this point, but as we have many times before, we will adapt to changing circumstances and pursue the most unique and talented artists in the industry with whom to collaborate. The ending to Stratton's statement makes clear that, as far as the DLC is concerned, Gordon will not be involved with music for that. It's unclear if the two parties will collaborate again, but this episode appears to have frayed the relationship between the two parties somewhat. This would be a shame, as our Doom Eternal review highlights the music, but there are times where production issues can affect a working relationship. That's wild. Like, it's so strange, considering how well-regarded the soundtrack is, not only in Doom Eternal, but also in the original. Like, it's... Like, Mick Gordon is a name inside of the gaming community now because of these soundtracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and same with his work on the Wolfenstein games. Like, really, really top quality stuff. His initial tweet saying, like, oh, the ones on Spotify weren't mixed by me. Yeah, like, as Marty said, like, it's a pretty disappointing way of him colouring what has happened. Because that is sort of, that is leading to, like, the idea that insinuates is, oh, they did this without my knowledge, or like by going like over me, which is not at all what happened,
by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I mean, like that post that Marty made on the Doom subreddit is pretty lengthy, and pretty
transparent.
Yeah, like it's a good level of transparent. You don't see that very often, especially in games. And it's a post that I have no reason to believe is like a damage control post. It is to clear the air, to obviously make sure that people don't continue to blame id or Bethesda. But it is quite a personal post almost, saying that, because I'm sure, you know, Marty Stratton and the other people at id, Hugo and stuff, they are probably devastated that they can't work with Mick Gordon again. Like, he made, without those games, sorry, without his music, those games wouldn't have been what they were. It'd Absolutely. Be like taking the music out of Star Wars. Yeah. It's a shame. Yeah.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Did either of you think about getting the soundtrack?
Think about what, sorry?
Think about getting the soundtrack for the game?
I mean, I've listened to it. Like,
yeah, I mean,
just in game.
It's on the internet.
Yeah, and it's in game. It's mixed pretty well. That like you hear that music pretty distinctly while you're playing. So like but I also don't listen to the Doom soundtrack outside of Doom.
Fair enough.
A lot of people I know work out to the Doom soundtrack. Apparently, it makes them feel real, real powerful. It gets the blood going.
Just the soundtrack. Just yep. blood pressure up 20.
yeah.
So yeah, that kind of sucks. I'm really sad about that, and I'm concerned. Not concerned, but I'm like morbidly interested to see what happens if they come out with a third game in the series now. What it'll sound like.
And because I remember, like they put out like a promo video for the soundtrack as well, about like it was a video where Mick Gordon got a bunch of heavy metal singers into a room and they started singing in like the Doom language, like the demon language, and they made like a promo video for it. Like they were all in on his music. So it's a shame this has happened.
Yeah. Kevin, you want to take us home with this Pro Skater announcement?
So the beginning of Jeff Keighley's I've lost the doc because I've got a timer up. Summer of Games, is that what it is? Summer Games Fest. Sorry.
Sticks in your brain there with that one.
Oh, no, it's actually worse than what it is. It's actually Summer Game Fest. Which I don't know why. Maybe the handle for Summer Games Fest was taken, so they just came
into
it.
One Summer
anyway,
Game.
Yeah. Yeah, so E3 is kill, so Jeff is here to save the day with an entire like season of game announcements, apparently. So about 24 hours ago, Jeff Keighley saying like, "Hey, there's a big announcement coming," and a bunch of insiders of the industry were tweeting like, "Hey, big announcement coming later today." And then Jeff Keighley tweeted like, "Hey, what's everyone's favorite PS1 game?" And included like a GIF of like the PS1 startup animation. And a bunch of people were saying, you know, like Ape Escape or Final Fantasy VII or like a bunch of like, you know, classic PS1 games.
Metal Gear, Crash, Spyro.
Yeah, Silent Hill. But a lot of people were also saying Tony Hawk Pro Skater. And Tony Hawk was also on social media very recently saying like, "Hey, here's my phone number. People can text me," because there's like this app going around where celebrities can get like a fake phone number that they can give out to their fans which they can also reply from. So it won't flood their social media and they can access it whenever they want, but they also use it for like promotional stuff. And there's been a lot of rumors about a Pro Skater remaster or another Pro Skater coming out this year. Some skateboarder went on a podcast about a week ago saying like, "Hey man, there's a new Pro Skater game and my board's in it," or something. And I'm like watching this interview going like, "This dude's totally breaking NDA." And then Tony Hawk did this thing and I'm like, "Oh, there's totally gonna be an announcement coming soon." And then Jeff Keighley posted this thing and I'm like, "Oh, this is totally coming tonight." And then Jeff Keighley said, "We're gonna have a special announcement of Summer Games Fest in 3 hours." And 2 hours later, Tony Hawk text everybody saying, "Hey, there's a new Tony Hawk remastered coming." And then they went live.
He texted everyone.
Fuck yeah, Tony Hawk texted everybody. Scamped board and
scamped the board.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 is being remastered for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, and this Switch.
Do we know if they're keeping the same music?
So most of the music is going to be in there. Superman is going to be in there.
Excellent.
They didn't say every song, which means some of the songs I think they couldn't license. But they have said most of the songs. They listed a bunch of the artists. So a lot of the good stuff is in there. The game looks really good.
It looks outrageously good. I'm looking at screenshots right now. It looks fucking fantastic.
Yeah, right? It looks phenomenal. Not Switch, but coming to PC. On September 4th. They have said that they will discuss next gen in the future. So I'm assuming that it will come to next gen at some point. Maybe a launch game. Maybe a little bit after. Because why wouldn't you? But yeah, it looks very, very good. I'm very excited to play a good Pro Skater game again. I was actually thinking about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 the other day because that was the first one I played.
Okay.
Because that one has Jango Fett in it, and I was watching Star Wars the other day. And
Jango
you can turn
Fett.
On. Yes, you can play as Jango Fett, and you can use the jetpack, which is great because you can turn on a cheat, which lets you always do a move perfectly, and so you can just use it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and then clip outside the world.
Great.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 rules.
I think you mean Jango Fett rules.
I do not. No, I do not mean that, Kerry.
I've never had any particular love for Pro Skater. I was a bit young when the games came out. So when people were playing them in my cousins and family friends or whatever, I was just, it was bloody hard and just not my thing. So I'm kind of, I don't know. I'm pretty eh on this one, but that the trailer is still worth a watch. The trailer is gorgeous. It's stunning, really. And I watched it on my phone, so maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. But I think it looked great.
Oh, no, it does look great. And honestly, Tony, you're looking good, man.
Tony.
How old is he? He's 50, right?
He's 50-something.
Surely.
Yeah. He posts fit, a lot of... He's still skating.
Oh, yeah. And he's still great. And he keeps posting videos of his kids skating as well. On Instagram and stuff. Seems like a cool dude, and I love his existential threat. 52 years old.
Yeah.
Anthony Hawk is 52 years old.
Anthony Hawk.
He's no longer Tony. Once you reach 50, you're Anthony. Anthony Hawk's professional skateboarder.
do you have any particular love for the franchise?
I never owned it. We used to play it. It used to be on... My orthodontist used to have a couple of TVs set up.
Yeah.
I think I've told this story.
Hell
before.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just Tony Hawk. I think it was Pro Skater 2. I don't remember. It was an old one because that console was whatever. I don't remember which console it was, but it was an old gen console when I was at the orthodontist. So
it would have been original Xbox or something, right?
I think it might have been. And I used to kick all the fucking 8-year-olds off so I could play it. and it was only in 10-minute bouts because then you'd have to go for your appointment, but it was fun. It was good. But I don't know whether I would have the attention span to play it for more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So the thing about those old Tony Hawk games is that a lot of them are you've only got 10 or 15 minutes in the world before it kicks you out because the world is on a timer.
I thought it was 2 minutes.
In the early ones, yeah. I think they increased it later on.
Right.
I don't know. I never actually played 1 or 2. I played a little. I played the warehouse of whatever is in
1.
The warehouse. 1. Yeah, it's 1, right? I think that one's, you've got 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
To get all the letters and to break through the fucking windows and shit.
And make the combo meter go up and...
Yeah, yeah. But I think they extended up the time frames later on. And I think they've said that the gameplay is it's not going to feel like an old game, which is good. However, you can use the D-pad to skate if you want, for all those people who played it on the original PS1.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, like, that's the thing that people, like, diehards are worried about is how is it going to feel? Because those original games, like, feel great in a way. I think because it's the same team that has remastered Crash and Spyro and CTR, like, I think they've done a great job of modernizing controls without having them lose what makes them so special in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with that. I probably won't get it. But it looks nice.
I'll get it. I'll enjoy watching the Twitter videos.
Yeah, like all the insane like chain combos. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope this game is better than 5.
Yep.
I don't think that's a particularly high bar to.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
but...
like step over.
it's still in my mind a little bit of like, oh no, what if history is repeating itself again?
Well, that's about it for this week's Minimap Cast. Bit of a shorter one, but I think we got some good stuff in there. Thanks so much for listening. We've had a great time recording this. It's good to do this with each other every couple of weeks because it's kind of... I don't know, I think I'd be a bit sad if we weren't doing this at this point in time. But we are, so I don't have to worry about that. If you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, or any other episodes of the podcast we've done, or any of our content that we've ever done before, you can support us by following us on Twitter, heading over to patreon.com/minimapau, seeing if you want to support us monetarily there, or even just throwing us a rating on your podcast service of choice. And if you're feeling particularly generous, even the podcast services of your not choice, that would be appreciated as well.
Let's game this system.
If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find the Minimap account at MinimapAU. June's Twitter is...
Jenez, J-U-N underscore E-S-S.
Jeremy's Twitter is...
at Alan Jones, retire, bitch.
Kerry's Twitter is... at KJ Palmer underscore 24. Jeremy's Twitter actually is...
at Alan Jones, retire, bitch.
If you want to check out any of our articles or other podcasts we've done, you can find it all on minimap.com.au. Until 2 weeks from now, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Goodbye.